going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to week 15 of the NFL season. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. All day breakfast, go get you some any time of the day. It's always a good choice. I'm hearing from the people out there in social media. The Czech Republic is going out there. They are enjoying their all day breakfast in the parts of the Big Blue Marble where they can get it. I have heard some disconcerting news from people spread across the globe.
About what?
All nations do not have all-day breakfast yet.
Is that for real? I'm glad you mentioned
They've
that.
Asked me to see what I can do. You know, I'm meeting with the Grimace later this month.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Czech, because perhaps we can offer a McDonald's trade. I was reading a story, and look, I love the quick-serve news. I'm a big proponent of the quick-serve food. McDonald's Australia has just come out with what they call, it's something I believe like the tot box. So you get this box that's divided into four sections. In one, you get the nuggets. In the other, you get like the breast pieces, the McBites.
Sure.
The sauces go in one side. Ooh. And then the fourth, McDonald's tater tots. Those delicious hash browns in tot form.
The fried surface area.
Yes.
That's pretty
interesting. About that, right?
I've actually heard that Handsome Hank is off trying to figure out that trade right now. That's why he's not
Perfect.
Here today.
Negotiate the deal, Hank.
Well, somebody Handsome can Hank, get it done.
Handsome Hank is not in Studio 66. However, you have heard the voices of Matt Money Smith, Cynthia Freeland.
Hi.
And Matt Harmon, one half of the Fantasy Hipsters gang. Let's jump in here on some hurry-up subjects before we jump into the show proper to get you all set for Week 15.
Harmon a little too cheery. We got to bring him down a little bit. He has just been spreading cheer.
It's the holiday season.
Yes, it is. And we just got to bring you down a little bit. We got to bring you down a little bit, Harmon.
Jeez.
Let's answer. Well, this is a bring down.
He's been
for
farting
one guy.
Christmas confetti all morning long, man. He's so excited.
He is sort of like an outsized elf in physical appearance, isn't he? All right.
That's
a very hip
that
one.
That is spectacular.
Let me put that in the slights and slander spreadsheet.
This is bad news for one guy or the other. The Dallas Cowboys quarterback situation that's been buzzed about of late here. Will Tony Romo, here's the question, and Freeland, I'm going to throw it to you first. Will Tony Romo take a snap before 2017 arrives?
What day do they play their last game? What day is week 17?
First or second?
First of, of January, yes, so that would be.
Nope.
But you think on the first, they do give him some run. That makes sense to me.
Week 17, I think we see Tony Romo week 17.
Harmon?
I'm going to say no, only because that's what I think should happen and what I want to see happen. But you never know.
Wait, you don't want
I don't
want to
see
him. I got you.
And I don't think we should see him.
All right, money?
I'm going to go yes, just because there are 24-hour sports networks that have talking heads, and their numbers we're seeing are starting to dip a little bit. And in order to peak those numbers, and look, it's all of us against the suits. It's talent versus the suits. People think we have issues, that we have problems with other folks on other networks. No, we're all in this together. It's us versus the suits, and we need Tony Romo to take at least one snap just to get this thing going, just to raise it a couple levels.
Listen, first of all, it's funny how quickly the conversation sort of evolved here. That one, well, it's ludicrous to talk about Tony Romo going in there. What, the kids played one bad game. Well, it was a second bad game, but all right. Obviously, they're not going to replace him. But, of course, if they lose to Tampa Bay and they only put up 10 points or, you know,
of course
couple of touchdowns, then Romo does maybe make some sense to put in there. We're going to get to our game picks in just a few minutes here for you. But before we do that, a little spoiler alert. This will all be rendered moot, at least going into week 15 and 16, once Dak Prescott puts it on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Double-digit victory at home for America's team, I say.
I don't know about that, but
we'll talk. We'll get your picks in a little while. Meantime, let's get to it. We haven't done Dead or Alive in a little while, so let's play a one-off here of the defending champs, the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Oh, there's our little jingle.
Have you ever done, Dave Dameshek, have you ever done, and I guess I can ask you as well, Cynthia, but it's kind of a male move, but perhaps you busted it out. Harmon's way too cool to do it, so I'm not even going to ask you.
Okay.
Or maybe
and
too young,
and too young as well.
I think a little too young.
Offense taken?
At a wedding, have you ever busted out the John Travolta staying alive point? on the dance floor. have you ever imbibed to a point where you have broken that out on a dance floor? And if not, what is the worst go-to move
this is
that you have?
I think I'm going to lose some respect in here. I think money likes to – he doesn't just survive. He likes to live.
I do.
You know?
I do.
And I think Cynthia Freeland admires people who live rather than the alternative. And on this count, I don't dance. And people – I don't like –
How do you not dance?
Not what?
How do you not dance at weddings?
I would have
free license. It's a license to do whatever the hell you want on a dance
floor. I would have wagered many, many, many
– Cookies.
Free drinks.
Cookies.
That was the answer to that question, that you don't dance.
Listen, I mean, remember
now – I got that crappy Genesis
For what
song
you care
my
about my own psychology, I have self-esteem issues. That's so what – I'm not going to go out and
That
boogie.
Is exactly why I would have said you don't dance.
Of course. See, but it's the one place that people do not judge you. Now, it is the one place where you can get away with whatever the hell
weddings,
you want on a dance floor.
My whole weddings, bar mitzvahs, and beyond. Yeah. People come up and they say, "Why aren't you dancing?" And I say, "Because it looks foolish." And they say, "Everybody's out there. No one cares."
Exactly.
Everybody. We all look foolish out there. And I say to them, "Exactly.
Yeah.
Why must I be sucked into your game of foolishness?
What a jerk.
I'll sit over here with my booze and I'll make my pithy remarks about all of you.
Oh, man.
I will commentate like one half of the two old men in at the Muppets.
Yeah. I could have
casting aspersions
script.
On all of you.
This is very predictable for Damashek. I could have written this script before you started.
Now listen,
you'll leave on your own. You'll go home. You'll cry and you'll want to die. That's what your future is, my friend. All right, sorry.
The love skunk will put his stink on you.
I've sidetracked us again.
Ladies.
I don't even know what that means, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Maybe we'll cover that in the Sheckies. The 21st annual Shecky Awards are on their way before the end of the calendar year. Of course, it is not complete until the Shecky Awards are handed out. Those are coming up. What's the date on those, Ryan Bartlett, behind the glass, or Emma VP? December 27th, so 4 days prior. So in case anything big happens, I guess we won't cover the entire 360.
So it's like for the Christians out there or the secular Christmas folks, it's like the gift that was buried behind the tree that you forgot about, and when you're vacuuming up all the needles there.
Like
look at this.
There's
like
one more.
There it is.
You
look at this.
I say it all. You know, the Academy Awards take care of the movies. Mazel Tov to Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, is the new host of that. The Grammys cover music. Damashek takes care of everything else.
Got it.
Fruit of the year. Best movie I watched in the calendar year.
Yeah, the things that people really want to know about.
They do.
Yeah. You know,
surprisingly.
Like best residual cereal milk. You know, things like that. We tackle
Lucky
them all.
Charms.
Hey, now let's
sugary.
Ugh. Yeah, but
that's,
you
that's why
get
there
the,
aren't the that's why there aren't the Freelands. That's why they are the Shecky Awards
because it's a good point.
Damashek knows the score. Now tell me the score on this one, Matt Harmon. The defending champs in some real jeopardy. I said it on the Sheck Report this week, and I will say it again now. Boy, oh boy, just a reminder, every year, remember this, at the end of September, early October, whatever's happening in the NFL, drink it in, but do not put it in stone as though that is going to carry through the rest of the season. The Broncos were undefeated. Remember that? Trevor Siemian, he's fine. They're going to do the same formula as they went through last year.
Better than Peyton Manning was last year.
Exactly. Yeah. All that talk. Now they're in some legit jeopardy. The defending champs' playoff hopes, dead or alive, Matt Harmon?
I'm going to say dead. And I don't think it's because of the quarterback position. You can't run the ball. Their offensive line stinks. And their defense is exploitable in certain ways that it wasn't last year, even though their pass defense is still legit.
Money.
I'm going to say alive just to spite you, because this really is this is all this conversation is.
It's not. Why?
Really? Oh, the Dolphins are going to take the spot? No. Yeah. No, Dave Damashek wants to hear all of us say the Steelers and the Ravens can make it in because the Broncos are going to lose, and then they're going to lose to the Raiders in Week 17, and that's how I don't have to stress game against the Ravens. It's okay. We can still get in as a wild card, just like we did when we won a Super Bowl as a 6 seed before. We'll do it again. Admit it, Sheck. Admit it.
I would love.
There is an alternate agenda for this
really
question.
Feisty today too. Both of them. Something's going on over there. And that
we're just Matt thing. Unpacking layers and layers of Damashek's own psychology.
I'll cut my chest open and let my heart lay bare for you. I don't care. I don't. I'm not afraid. Yeah. That I'm not afraid of. Now
dancing, you are.
Now how well the hips?
There we go.
By the way, I have great sense of rhythm. I don't want to.
Clearly.
I don't want to misrepresent that.
As was
that.
Just evidenced.
Well, there was no music playing. You give me a beat. Look out. Now, here's what I'll tell you in the meantime.
Oh.
I don't, no, no, no. I'm on the spot.
Now listen.
On the spot. He's on the spot. He can't perform on the spot.
Here's what I'll tell you.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. Little shoulder shimmy there. Little shoulder.
Those guys
shimmy.
Don't know how to shoulder, shimmy, but Damashek can shimmy. Do it.
Damashek. It was more like a butt wiggle on the seat, as in the shoulders just kind of went along with it.
Oh, jeez.
Now, let me tell you something. May I?
Please. This is the hurry up.
Can
yes.
we be serious, please? Please.
Of course. Please.
We're talking, trying
so
to talk
serious.
About football.
Sure.
I can go down the rabbit hole of the AFC North yep. for you.
Okay.
Here's the thing. First of all, the Dolphins with Matt Moore are going to, this is what happens that, you know, a lot of people out there have just looked, well, Matt Moore, their season's over. But, of course, veteran QBs who have, you know, I know he hasn't been under center in 5 years, but neither had Josh McCown. And Brian Hoyer had a nice little stretch. And there are any number of backup QBs. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a whole good season last year. You can do this kind of thing in the short term. The problem is our pal Bucky Brooks and many others will explain, in a short sample size, a guy can go in there and get the job done if he's been around and he's a bright guy, then he can do it. The problem is then the league's defenses get a look at that. They get the film, and after 3 or 4 weeks, they figure out this is what he's doing, take that away from him, and that guy doesn't have the physical tools to then do the alternative, to now attack the defense differently.
Is this a long, circuitous route to the Dolphins are going to get into the playoffs over the Broncos? Is that what you're getting at here?
The Dolphins have a fine chance to win their next two games at the Jets and at Buffalo.
Right.
The idea that they're finished, and if they do that...
See what you did there?
Yes, but the fin. Finished. I picked it up, too.
That was good.
They have a shot at getting in there.
PH.
So, all right, so that's one wild card.
Okay.
And they have the tiebreaker edge over Pittsburgh and Denver.
Right.
Now, Denver has to go... Now they go New England, they go at KC, then they go Oakland.
Raiders at home, yeah.
They need to win all three of those to get in. That's the issue. And I just thought,
yeah.
And the Ravens.
They've got 6 losses right now.
They are.
Or five. No, they're 8-5, right?
8-5, right.
So they can probably go 2-1.
No, I think they can still lose to New England. And
they can. I've really pored over the numbers, and math ain't my thing, but.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I've worked out all the scenarios. It's highly unlikely. I'm not saying it's an impossibility. Highly unlikely 10-6 is not good enough for them. They need to be 11-5 to get into the postseason.
All right, then they're dead.
Yeah, all right.
If that's Freeland? The case, I guess I thought that they could still lose to New England and still make it in, but I think they're pretty close to
that. Oh, I'm sure I'm going to get some tweets telling me why I'm wrong, but I am pretty sure that realistically, I'm not saying that it's a mathematical impossibility.
Right.
But if you look at where everybody should probably wind up, it doesn't seem
if
like
If you are wrong, I'll demand an apology and insist that I be able to come on your podcast to defend myself because I was misrepresented.
You have an open
$20.
Invitation. All right.
I want my $20.
Let's get to the doctor on call. Broncos playoff chances. Oh, they're alive. Look at that. The doctor's
optimistic. No, there it is. There. Oops.
Maybe he doesn't want a lawsuit on his hands or something, the doctor on call. Like he doesn't want to declare somebody dead and then have them resurrect there.
That's
but yeah. I don't – I just the path for the Broncos, because you know one of those two AFC West teams, the Chiefs or Raiders, obviously claims one of those two. So we're really talking about just one wild card spot there. I suppose if the Dolphins didn't do what I expect them to, if they go 1-2 here and the Steelers lose to Cincinnati and Baltimore, I suppose there is that opportunity there. But they really can't do worse than – at minimum, they got to be 2-1. To get in there. And of course the thing that's working against them right now is their conference record. They're 5-4 right now. That's what's dooming them right now. But the doctor says it's still alive there. Now, I hate to make this transition. This is a horrible pivot and I don't
you
mean
just
to be,
had the
I don't mean to be glib about this.
Way to go.
Alan Thicke passed away and that's a shame. Harmon, you probably were too young to remember Growing Pains, but I assume and you too Freeland, but Money and I certainly watched Growing Pains. Did you?
Yes.
It was a nice set. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was funny, but it was it was one of those ABC Friday night kind of shows.
Like, Tracy Gold was hot.
It was kind of
I thought so.
Like, you know, like the way Modern Family is now. Like, there's like comical parts, but it's like heartwarming.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch. I would not.
I mean, like,
at its
too
best,
young to know it.
Yeah, at
Growing
its
Pains
best,
was still a good
funny.
Christian fellowship. You know,
yeah,
Growing Pains
yeah.
still was kind of pushing that theme. But
anyway.
I'll say this. I'll go a step further.
Go ahead.
Even when Tracy Gold got that mugshot for the DUI with the kids in the car, I was like, she still got it.
Still?
Or did it, or Tracy did, Gold or still got it.
It raised even higher your opinion of her.
But my opinion of her certainly lowered, but I was surprised
by,
you know,
higher.
Like the mugshot. I was like, well, you know, Tracy Gold's really held up.
She brought it for that mugshot.
I mean, really not bad there.
All right, Money, let's turn to you with this one. You know, Alan Thicke did play Mr. Seaver.
Oh, man, why'd you have to put the Homer Simpson up there? That really throws
Best TV dad.
Can I say non-animated? I mean, Homer's – you can't touch Homer.
Homer is the greatest TV character.
Yeah, so I'm going to take him out.
Homer's the greatest TV character in history.
I'm going to take him out of the best TV dads, and I'm gonna go off the menu here. I'm going Tony Danza. Who's the boss? Because that is not an easy situation to be in, right? You're a housekeeper, but you're this muscly guy, but you want to provide for your daughter, you know. And as a father of three daughters, I think I can kind of relate to how important that relationship is. So I'm going to go Tony Danza.
That's very thoughtful and nice, Cynthia Freeland.
I mean, we're going way back. Like, where aren't there any Bradys on that picture? I mean,
Brady.
He adopted three girls. Or, you know, whatever. Like, that's not the...
I didn't really care for his parenting technique, to be honest.
Hell of an architect, though. Hell of an architect. That's Mike true. Brady.
He took his job very seriously.
Darn right.
It was time to... Look, when it was time to sit down and parent, he would do it.
Yep.
But when it was time to sit down at the architecture table...
the drafting table. Wasn't that the best?
In his little office over there. Yep. That was serious business. If there was something going on in the office, like, you got called... That was worse than getting called to the principal's office.
I mean, I don't know. I like that he adopted three.
Good pull.
Armin?
I think I'm going to go with Coach Taylor. I love Coach Taylor. And he wasn't
from
lame.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, and he wasn't lame either. Like, he wasn't a real lame dad, because I can't relate to that.
Yeah, no, you're too hip for that. I'll go Homer because he's the greatest.
Oh, see? We just said you got to take Homer out of it. What the hell? Can't go Homer.
Best? Are we talking? I know I'm the one who decided to ask this, but I don't know if we're talking about which you would most want as your father, because I wouldn't want Homer to be my father.
No.
Also, he's one-dimensional or whatever, two-dimensional.
That would be another.
There is that. Yes, it's a bit flat.
Here's who I don't want.
How about Bill Cosby?
Well, we're not. See, now we're talking. Are we talking about Dr. Cosby, or are we talking about Dr.
Huxtable? Dr. Huxtable is who we're talking
about. Dr. Huxtable was all right. Yeah. He was a little strict for
what?
My taste.
I don't know.
That off limits.
You know, I wouldn't want as my father.
Feel uncomfortable.
You know, in the history of TV, the one I wouldn't want as my father is Donner from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
What a jerk.
Oh, yeah,
with that black nose.
It's a real piece of work.
Just put that over there, kid.
I don't care. Emma VP's getting angry behind the glass already because I did this one 3 weeks ago, but I'm bringing it up again. Here's what happened, Cynthia Freeland. Are you familiar with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special?
I am.
So Rudolph is born into the world in his cave, and his mama is there with him, and Donner comes back from work. This all happens within about 45 seconds. And immediately Donner says, like, oh, that's my boy. My boy is here. Oh, look at what he's there. Oh, no. What's with the red nose? Oh, we got to cover that up. We can't let Santa see that or he'll never make it on Santa's team. You just became a father and you're immediately humiliated? You talk about disgusting. And
it's a TV special. You got to get right to it. This is not long-form silver screen.
We got to do something. We got to do something here. And he takes dirt. And he rubs it on his infant child's face to cover it up because Santa's on his way. The boss man's on his way. And, oh, shame the devil if Santa sees that red nose.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then Santa comes in and sees it. And somehow the dirt comes off the baby's. It's a baby now. You understand? The baby hasn't even had a meal yet. He hasn't even had an opportunity to suckle on his mama's teat yet, and he's already got dirt on his face to cover it up because the man ain't going to like it.
I love this.
Santa comes in and the dirt gets wiped away, and he's like, whoa, you're never going to – you better fix that, Donner, because this kid here ain't going to make it on my team with that red nose. Then he launches into a song. I am a kringle, a dingle, dingling. What are you doing?
I'm just letting him go.
There's a nice little baby here. You don't need to take a minute to fawn over how cute the nice little baby is. No. I'm the king of dingling. Oh, you're the best, Santa. We'll see you when it's Christmas. Donner and Santa, shame on the both of you. Emotional abuse. No,
anything on
Hermie? Fantastic.
Anything on the Bumble? Anything else you want to from the Rankin Bass series? Anything else you want to share with the people?
Your producer,
the better one.
Literally,
the better one is, and in fact, that's the best Christmas special of them all. Is Santa Claus is coming down
with heat and cold miser?
Right. Yeah.
There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Not the heat and cold miser. No.
Isn't that Santa's coming to town?
No. That's
or is that Frosty
Burger Meister Burger? You know.
Right.
You know that one.
Right. I think
saying
so.
It with the red beard. Wait a minute.
So then what were Heat
and
Kolbeiser
hell,
in?
Holy hell, Matt Harmon looks a lot like Santa and Santa Claus is coming to town.
Ooh, that's
start
not a bad
show.
Call.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, as always, presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. And I think that's all the time we have. We'll talk to you next
time. good talk.
We've got NFL Week 15 picks coming for you. Let's start it off with a hello. He is in the running. You should know. The votes have now been cast. What's done is done. I will not reveal it. But all three of the people seated here in Studio 66 have been nominated for a Shecky Award.
Even being nominated is an honor.
Well,
it's all fixed. Not fixed in the
it's
league.
Is it rigged?
It has been hacked by the commies.
I
don't appreciate it. Some things were leaked about me.
Putin, I want Cynthia. I want the yellow-haired person.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Money Smith. Cynthia Freeland participates in the video version. If you aren't, if you're consuming us in audio, we appreciate it on iTunes. If you're watching, you can, or if you aren't watching, you can do so now at NFL.com/DDFP. Here it is, Matt Money Smith.
Oh, I love it.
I love it too.
And I hate myself.
Chicago guy, and he hosts the NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money skateboarded as a kid. Matt Money, he's on with Dameshek. Matt Money, he's Matt Money Smith.
Wow.
You know what just jumped out at me?
What's that?
I swear, I'm not embellishing. I do believe the old 1970s style stereo that is being tuned in is the same Sears brand stereo I grew up with in our living room. I believe that to be true.
Wow.
I caught that glimpse there.
We actually got it from your living room.
Oh, really?
Child.
From Hammond, Indiana?
We did.
We came all the way out here.
All the way to Hammond,
Indiana. The best thing in that video is when the reference is made to your skinny legs, that it cuts to what appears to be a 70 lady's with the high knee socks.
Those legs are much thicker than
much
mine,
meatier than
much
Matt
meatier
Money
than mine.
I'm actually sad they cut out the splits because Handsome Hank and I did the splits.
Yep, B-roll.
Yeah,
we'll get the DVD release with all the
director's cut.
We'll get that turned into a GIF.
There we go.
Don't worry, that's.
Let's say hello to Cynthia.
Hello,
Freeland.
Cynthia.
Of course, you see her on Thursday Night Football's pregame. You see her on Game Day Morning, NFL Fantasy Live, and beyond. She makes her pages there at NFL. Right, you make pages at NFL.
So many pages. Right. I'm also. I'd actually rather you be listening as opposed to watching today because. I did like this crazy face thing and my whole face is peeled off.
Yeah, you're pretty shiny today.
So shiny.
I mean, like super shiny.
Really tight skin today.
I'll tell you what.
I got to put some sunglasses on here.
It's a good thing Donner and San aren't here.
I know.
It's a little dirt.
I know.
Cover your face in dirt.
If Donner were my dad instead of Art, then we would have a problem. But
would say, well, listen, we got to cover that up. And Santa would go like, I'm the king of ding-a-ling.
They put this heavy makeup on us, and then they don't. Then you got to peel your skin off. I know you have this problem, too.
And that's
a lot of humble bragging.
And
actually,
Matt Harmon,
I did catch Sheck on the way to the makeup room on my way up here.
Yeah, I had to fill in the flesh yarmulke back there, you know. Let's just say it looks good. Thank you.
Looks really good.
Hey, and then Matt Harmon, he's one half, as I mentioned, of the Fantasy Hipsters, emerging stars on Fantasy and Friends, and
something
now with its own handle. On NFL.com, NFL.com/FantasyHipsters.
Love it.
As well as Reception Perception, all his
Twitter feed now at Fantasy Hipsters. Is that available?
I'm not going to confirm or deny any sort of existence of a Twitter handle. But
now we had our holiday party early in the week, and there's a tweet from my tweet from the holiday party. You want to talk about that, MVP?
Did you drunk tweet?
What was it?
Oh, my God.
Not from our party.
Ah.
But – yes,
because I seem to have missed that.
My kids, you know, as elementary school kids, you know, they do their little holiday performance. They come out with their class. They sing a couple of numbers, and that's that.
Hashtag blessed.
Here's the 21st century.
Hashtag blessed. Amazing.
The 21st century.
It's the worst.
Now, with everybody now has to hold their cell phone, you know, up to record this thing. For what? You're there already. What do you need to I know for grandparents or for the parent at work or whatever, but – This guy right in front of me didn't just have his iPhone. He had like one of those iPad-y, the mini iPads. But I literally couldn't see my own daughter make her noise. because I had to watch it through this Creepos thing. I tweeted it out. Check it out at Damashek.
So why don't you just grab it and throw it?
Be more aggressive.
Come on, Sheck.
No, I'm not.
Hey, Sheck, man, you're someone's daddy.
Somebody gave me the
double
barrels.
Come on, Sheck, you're that girl's daddy.
Some guy cut me off in traffic today, then rolled down. I honked, and then he rolled down his window and gave me the double barrels.
I love it.
Two.
Like back and forth.
Put
like back hand, and forth which, like this.
Ooh,
like,
that's nice.
As though
so like you like kept one hand
nun.
On the wheel?
Like the punching nun of our youth.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. Yeah. Or like in or WW2, the anti-aircraft cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Like the boom, 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 boom. Like that's what he's doing to me. Like, what the hell is happening right
I'm a fan of that move, by the way. Whenever I make too aggressive of a move, I just forget. I might as well double down. I just throw it up. I just throw it up. Whatever.
Double barrel.
I'm that guy.
Now, I think that guy was a jerk in favor of his child. Now, you in favor of mine, I encourage you, Nate, demand you head over to at Damashek on Twitter. There you will find pinned at the top Football Babies PDF. You can print that out or just hold them up on your cell phone and block the person behind you's view of the football game. Hold him up for
always
just a moment.
One.
And show him that he's Flat Stanley for the 21st century. He's now got 34 stamps on his passport, so let's add a few more before.
34.
If anyone listening will please take him to Ford Field if he hasn't.
I think he's been to Ford Field. Yeah, he's been there.
Been to Ford Field?
Been to Ford.
I'm trying to think.
I feel like I saw him before. I didn't see that yet,
and I've been looking for it specifically. If he hasn't gone to Ford Field, but please somebody do it.
Yeah. Maybe Football Baby makes an appearance at the Gale Harmon holiday party this Friday.
Ooh.
Even if Football Daddy doesn't show up.
Yeah, that would be
Shiny though. Cynthia will be there.
I know.
It'd be egg on my face, which is what Donner would put on my face if my nose was.
What's the name of the party?
Gale Harmon.
Yeah, too many syllables. How about either Gelman or Harler?
Because Gel Har
Harler.
And
like we're going to the Harler, like the Harler.
Right
Harler?
I don't know. It seems too long.
All right. Well, let's get to
Harler
Parler.
Where's my invite?
You were invited.
I was?
Yes.
How?
Check your email.
Check your email, bro.
Oh, I never check my NFL.com email.
It's Friday. You can come if you want to.
All right. Now we're talking.
Is that an invitation to anyone within the sound of your voice
no,
right now?
No, God, please.
That'd be
don't,
nice.
Don't do
if
that.
You know where they live,
elitist.
Yes.
Yeah, what an elite.
Yeah, if you know where I live, you
right.
show up.
Exactly.
Would you be excited or upset if I showed up with the Octobong for all of us to drink those beers, you know?
I would come in with
a 12-pack of Mickey's.
I would be completely excited.
12-pack of Mickey's and the Octobong with the – you pull it, releases, it's a race to the bottom.
I'd be
who's
completely
in?
Completely excited.
All right,
I got
we
a
go.
Good Mickey story to tell you, but that needs to stay off air.
Yeah.
Let's instead talk about Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Who are you loving? Let's do it. Freeland, we start with you. Who are you loving in week 15?
I'm totally pandering to you, but I love Ladarius Green.
Yeah, you're such a suck-up.
No,
unbelievable.
Look, no, it's not at all a suck-up. It's the fact that I said it before the season, then he got hurt, and then it's finally starting to happen. So I like have to bring it back and make it a thing, right? Like they used him as a wide receiver, basically.
Well, they are. I mean, he is getting a ton of targets, and, you know, the question – you know, I guess it varies a little bit week to week, but in the last two it really hasn't. He is the after 84, clearly he is
right.
the second
they've had a lot of questions in the second wideout position.
I just got paranoid because you're a woman, and again, like I said, I'm self-conscious. I feel like my shirt's riding up here.
Oh, and you got the muffin
no
top
flesh being exposed to you.
I don't see any flesh.
Well, the best thing to do is address it, of course, publicly for everybody to hear.
Hey, Shaq, she's not
or
looking.
Just pick up some dirt ahead. And rub
her eyes are up here. She's not checking
you don't have to
out.
Worry about that.
It's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
But Darius Green, you like him.
I do. And I think, you know, if you're obviously some people are looking for tight ends in their fantasy playoffs, and this could be one to pick up if you've gotten, you know, maybe you had Gronk and then, you know, he's no longer playing and maybe you didn't have Martellus Bennett as heck, whatever happened there. It could be a good one if you need to look for a tight end.
Absolutely.
We'll get our Bengals Steelers game pick among the other game picks coming up here. Meantime, Harmon, go.
Well, my first suggestion before Emma shot it down was that I'm loving the fact that I had off the day after the holiday Christmas.
How did you work that out?
Wednesday's always my day off.
Oh,
that's
so
a big win
convenient.
There.
Signed on to the instant message client here at work and realized, everybody's complaining about how tough day they're having. I woke up at 10 and ate a burrito.
Well done.
I felt pretty good about myself.
I pretty much ate I tried everything.
It's a lot of good food there.
The sushi was amazing. I tried
donut
every,
wall?
I tried every single food. I ate more at that. I was like, free food? Yep.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be a hurry-up question. So here it is, money. You didn't show up at the party.
That was my daughter's 13th, so I was out with her.
So he ate a lot of food also?
I did.
Just differently.
There were, let me throw this out to everybody here. Well, actually, Money, you do this one because you're the only one who didn't have the choice to make that night. There was a sushi table.
Uh-huh.
There was a meats and cheese table.
Okay. Just all, like, I mean, charcuterie style?
Yep.
Okay. All manner of Italian pickles? Deli meats.
Like, sorry, pickles, peppers kind of thing?
Different kinds of mustard, some nice bread, some prosciutto, some gabagool, some salami, pepperoni. It was all out there.
Mi piace molto.
They had a pizza table, all different kinds of pizzas, different like toppings, rangy kind of stuff there.
Okay.
They had a sliders table, and they had a donut wall. The entire wall, they converted a bookshelf,
it was cool.
A built-in bookshelf, into just all manner of donut flavors out there. Which, Money, you can only have one. You can only eat one thing for the whole night. Visit.
It's as easy. Go ahead. It's meats and cheeses. Not even close, because the donuts you're going to be sick of after maybe one and a half, right? The pizza, all the cheese, and the dough, and you're like, all right, enough of that. So it'd be between the sushi and the...
After having tasted all of it, and I can confirm I tasted all of it,
yes.
The sushi was the best there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
but
like
even
this,
sushi,
this,
I think.
This derailment was my fault.
The correct answer is the one Matt Money wisely gave. It's the meats and cheeses. I saw that. I immediately ID'd it, and I visited it... however many times I want to.
That gets me more
excited. How many times I hit the meats and cheeses is none of your business, so don't even bother asking. Now, I will quickly jump to it because we got to get to the picks here, but I'm going to tell you who I'm loving.
Loving what?
I love the Rams throwbacks, the blue and white, all white with the blue hat, the white horn as opposed to the gold. This summons for me a very quick list, if I can offer it up to you. Yes, everybody talks about the throwbacks they'd most like to see. And, of course, they always will say the powder blue Chargers with the black numbers. Of course, I swoon for those like the rest of the world. But the ones in the Pat Patriot, the red jersey for the Patriots are great. But you always hear about those. Here are a few that I demand that we see come 2017. First of all, just once. We don't need to see them the whole year. Just give them to us once. The 80s Jets with the white face mask, Freeman McNeil, Richard Todd, Joe Klecko.
Is that the JETS on the side of the helmet or no? Was that?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was the 90s. That crept into the 90s.
That slanty Jets. Yeah. And if you're looking at it, like NFL.com/DDFP.
It's a good one.
There you go. Look at that. Isn't that nice?
Big fan.
Handsome.
They're so happy, too. I haven't seen Jets that happy in a long time.
There you go, Klecko. Star Cannonball Run.
Stripes on the sleeves. Big win, too.
Yep, yep. Totally. Look at that. That's a great one. Next up, the late 70s, early 80s San Diego Chargers. Yeah, everybody talks about, and rightly, about the powder blue with the black numbers on the white hats. But these dandies.
Show me your lightning bolts.
Yeah, I mean, these were great. San Diego
Superchargers. San Diego. Hit the falsetto.
Superchargers. Yeah. Look at that. I mean, those were just glorious.
Yeah.
I want to see them.
It's the shade of yellow. They really
gold
get you.
Pants. Yeah. They often wore the white jersey as opposed to the blue, but that the shade of blue is grand.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with those uniforms. That's
nothing.
The
I'm with
bottom
you.
Line. Look at how nice those look.
They are good.
And also, well, I wanted to mention we didn't get it, the 76 Seahawks. I'd like to see those. But the most underrated throwback
St. Louis Cardinals.
The simplicity of the old St. Louis Cardinals. You cannot get any more spare by definition than a football jersey. You're required to wear numbers. That's all they had. They had a deep red jersey with numbers, and that's it. Nothing else. You want stripes? Go somewhere else. Look at my pants if you're a car. Those uniforms are the best.
My pants.
Not a bad call.
There it is.
It'd be cooler if the pants had no piping. If the pants were just white.
Yep.
White pants, red jersey, that's it.
I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I'm open to that. All right, now, let's get
to... Like it just came
to...
out of the hutch box that you got for Christmas back then.
I mean, I thought, can't they wear those? Well, I'll hoke them. Who decided that uniforms would be better in the 21st century by adding stray lines? Like a child just had a white pen of some sort to just make random lines?
It was the era of pinstriping on the side of automobiles.
Yeah.
You know, like wacky arrows and little flowers by the driver. Driver's handle. The one thing I will say I thought you were going to go to, but you didn't, was the Bengals when they had the weirdest font in the history of the world on the side of their helmet. Like there was too much space between each of the letters that said Bengals.
I mentioned that one to the producers. They were busy digging around for
jerks.
All the other. Yeah, the Bengals black jersey with just the orange, all orange hat, and it just said on the side, Bengals. Sometimes less is more, Bengals, with your silly tiger stripes on you. Hey, we'll see you on Sunday. Let's get to it, the Red Challenge flag picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
And today, look who it is. It's our waiter,
Yum.
MVP. And today we're traveling to Asia.
Thank you, Emma.
India, to be specific. Sheck of India is our menu. As
nice
always,
buffet.
We encourage you to head over to NFL.com/NFL menu. And you can look at Emma's great work, and it really is gangbuster. Cynthia Freeland, Anne Marie.
Terrific.
Or, I'm sorry, Mary Ann. I called her Anne Marie. She might unfollow me on Twitter now, but Cynthia's mother, Mary Ann.
She should.
Follows money now, too.
Darn right she does. Getting a couple likes right here in my front pocket.
The Freeland family and beyond, big fans of Emma VP's work.
Huge fans of the show. Emma VP, they love her. They love all of it.
But they like Emma the best.
They do like Emma the best.
Well, it's understandable.
See, that's why I don't dance. Because then it'll be like, yeah, it's fine, you dance, but you're not as good a dancer as Blank. And then it's like, well, see, that's why I don't dance. All right, Emma VP.
I appreciate it.
Good. All right.
Emma VP, start us off. We're going to go take a trip to the Queen City. Tell us about it.
All right, Steelers versus Bengals, Bell Purdy. When tempers inevitably fry, be patient with our unrivaled Le'Veon Bell Purdy, comprised of aggressive flavors including perfectly tossed divisional faux-tatoes, baked Carlos Dunpapti, and roasted Dupree nuts. Don't miss out on our Ladarius Green chutney made of Lawrence Timmons and Mike McChillies as the Bengals try to ruin our Steelers' shot at the postseason.
Oh, well done. That last line. Well done, Emma.
Thanks, money.
Very nice, Emma VP. Thank you, waiter. Now, let's decide if flags need to be thrown here. I'm going to start with you, Matt Harmon. It is the Steelers. It's the Bengals. Choose.
Steelers.
Money? Like, I'm with throw a flag there?
Nope.
Not going to go with the red rifle?
Nah.
This will make their season, don't you see?
I do know that.
They're
petulant.
They're petulant, but they're playing for nothing. But, we can hurt the division bully.
No, I'm with you, and that's what I thought of when I originally started typing B-E with Ryan Bartlett. I went, delete. I'm going to just type the pit in there. Jeremy Hill's been running great. A.J. Green has been practicing this week. Tyler Eifert is one hell of a red zone weapon. And, the Bills offense couldn't manage to muster up enough with all of Big Ben's mistakes. And we know he has been bad on the road for whatever reason as of late.
It's really getting weird.
It is weird because I hate that stat. You know, you don't know what the road opponents are each year. You don't know the health of the team each year. There's so many variables that go into that. But it is odd how bad he has been away
from
Pittsburgh.
Like 3 years now.
Right. It's just the only thing I can think of is that he likes to sneak out and tie it on until like 10 a.m. the next day, and he's just not right. I don't know what else to attribute it to. It just does not make any sense.
Well, I think that's a perfectly fair hypothesis.
I think there was some interview with him this week when they asked him about it, and he's like, well, it's hard to win on the road. So it's like maybe there's a little bit of a lack of self-awareness. Too.
It is one of those things. It is my ongoing question to NFL football players that, I mean, how can it make a difference to you? How can it?
Yeah.
I get it. You like to sleep in your own bed. Can it really make that big a difference?
They don't sleep in their own
bed. It's not like a baseball game. Baseball, at least the dimensions of stadiums are different. Right. And you know,
of course, there's a real difference.
How can it make a difference to you about whether or not you're in Pittsburgh or in Cincinnati? You have an hour flight or whatever it is. Well, how much can it really throw you off your game? Anyway, Freeland, choose. You're not going to throw it.
No throwing.
I don't like this. I want somebody to pick the Bengals so I can feel better about it.
Well, you can do it. You're the last one.
I'm not going to do it. I got the Steelers winning this one. A couple things, very quickly. I don't want to belabor the Steelers, but one thing is,
sure,
Mike Munchak has done miraculous work with that offensive line. He's not getting credit for it. They do have some nice pieces there, at least in pedigree. As I always say, I don't actually know what defines one 300-pound man.
How often do we give O-line coaches credit? Listen. This guy's gotten too much credit. This O-line coach has just been celebrated way too much. Enough of this. We've talked about him enough already. We never talk about the O-line.
And the
coach.
I talk to offensive linemen and say, "Give me, what are you looking for? How do you assess who individually is playing his position best?" And really what it does come down to, it if you even care about the offensive line at all, you can basically see at the snap. Well, I mean, where do your eyes go? Where do your eyes go as a fan when you're watching on TV? Are you watching the QBs drop? Are you watching the guys on the outside? Are you watching the line of scrimmage? It is fairly easy to give a look to the line of scrimmage. You can see a push in either direction overall, but it is hard for me to assess. Oh, that yep. guard is the best. But I do love when pretentious fans weigh in on that. Oh, that guard is the best guard in the game.
Well, that's why, of all the things, and I know there's probably people here that are friends with the folks over at Pro Football Focus, but you want to talk about hooey. I mean, offensive line grades, the second the game is over, what the hell is that? You don't know what the assignments were. You don't know what protections were called. How the hell do you know what grade to give a guy when you have no idea what he was called to do on that particular play? It's ridiculous.
Fair criticism.
You know what I do look at as one thing, and it doesn't say who on the line or who, you know, it doesn't say, and you can do run direction and see where they go, but again, you don't know what was called. But you can look at things like stuff percentage and which is what happens to your running back if they get hit at or behind the line of scrimmage. And that doesn't give you a sense of it doesn't give you a good sense of like this guard versus this tackle versus the center, whatever. But it does it like if you're looking for one thing, I don't know, I would guess I'm trying to like find something positive.
No, it's an approximation. The thing that's striking, the thing that is striking, is that they do have mobile guards, the Steelers, and they're running that. They're running the counter to both sides, which does make it tough. That's part of the reason Le'Veon Bell is getting off lately. The other thing is too, I keep mentioning it. Watch 91 Stephon Tuitt. Hargrave should be back this week. Shazier's making plays now, and Sean Davis at the back end now filling in at safety. They do have young playmaking talent.
Remember when he said he didn't want to belabor the Steelers?
Yeah, they're gonna win. What's next?
I hope they win. I'm not sure they will. Next up, MVP, go.
There
we go.
Next up,
MVP. You're the man.
Emma VP is a method performer. She couldn't do it. Bartlett, are you going to play the music or not? I'm waiting.
I need to cue the band.
Oh,
let's go.
Eagles versus Ravens saga Lou. Despite taking a lot of flacco for being aloof, our Terrell Soggs dish has received raving reviews and will make critics regret calling our key ingredients heat into question. Spinach out the season strong with our Kamar Purakin of Collard Greens Beckham, Caleb Sturgis, and Helly Philly Whooping Cream with a side of John Harbazmati rice.
I like the Kamar Aiken shout out.
Yeah. Here's your best. I've said this a couple times over the last couple of weeks here, but this is your best evidence of that the NFL season is long. Remember the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl? Carson Wentz was
greatest
Dan
pick
Marino
ever.
And
he
all
was,
that
he
of
was,
stuff.
What was he, Peyton Manning pre-snap and
Andrew
Luck.
Andrew Luck after the snap. And yeah, it was
best defense since the 2000 Ravens. Well,
dash of Big Ben in there.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Eagles.
Talk about an old
Jesus
line,
Christos.
Though.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, their offensive line has
it's true.
That's where you can see evidence of a difference in O-line when you get injuries and then they perform worse.
Yeah. Matt Money Smith.
I'm good enough to tell you a backup, not as good as a starter. I'm good enough to tell
Eagles,
you
Ravens choose.
Eagles, Ravens.
Raisins.
Ooh,
I like a good sun made. I like a good sun made golden raisin.
Raisins are bad.
Raisins are not bad.
Not as bad as peanut butter, but bad.
You are so just. I'm done with you. Jeez. Peanut butter is the finest food on the planet.
Harmon's a weird.
I know he is.
Oh, whatever.
Listen, Ravens.
Ravens. Freeland, do you want to throw the flag?
I want to, but I won't because I don't believe
Harmon,
there comes
do
one.
It, do it!
Not happening.
I'm not going to do it either.
Nope.
I really did give some thought to the Eagles here. This just feels like, in broad strokes to me, there's no science to this particular matchup for me. But Flacco, as we know, he shows up in Foxborough. He rises to the challenge. Yep. He always shows up in Heinz Field. These ones in between, this is why Joe Flacco can't rightly be placed in the top 10 QBs because he has these games that they should take care of business, and he falters a little bit. I do think that they'll survive against the Eagles, though. Freeland.
Mine's more about the Ravens defense and the Philadelphia offense. Yeah. That's the side I think when I like went to think about the game, it's like that defense and their O-line and all of their, you know.
Everybody's hurt.
The guy whose name I can't even say, he's –
no one to run the ball,
right,
by the way, too.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so to me, there's the lack of offensive production. Who's their wideout one?
Well, here's the Jordan thing, though. Maybe Wentz has been around long enough that he'll catch fire at the back end of this season. I think Wentz
is still good. Again, I don't think that Eagles fan shouldn't be upset with Wentz. He's done great. It's just give him a chance. Like
He's all right.
He's done great.
He's all right.
All right, Harmon.
I got high standards.
Mr. Hip, any thoughts on this one?
I mean, I think that you talked about the Ravens offense versus the Eagles defense. So one thing the Eagles defense has been doing lately is giving up a ton of big plays to wide receivers. Their cornerback play has really disintegrated throughout the season along with their offensive line and their own wide receivers. So I think this should be a game where the Ravens roll.
Got a tweet. You know, I like to talk about the Jenga theory. Jimmy Smith is maybe the secret Ravens Jenga piece there. When he goes out, man, they are not the same team there.
Point. Yeah, but not many wide receivers on that roster that can really strike fear into a defense, even without Jimmy Smith. Yeah.
The one the thing to look at here is this is a swing week, of course, as they all are with tight division races and wild card races. If the Steelers lose to the Bengals and the Ravens beat the Eagles, then it then unless something weird happens in Week 17, the Ravens won't even need to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh to still take the division.
Right.
Other way around, Ravens lose to the Eagles and the Steelers win, then
that's
what I just
winner in, so loser likely.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, next up, Emma VP.
Okay, next up, we have our Titans versus Chiefs chicken curry. As the season simmers down and the AFC pot thickens, you can always depend on our chicken DeMarco curry prepared in a Titan slow cooker with a steamed route Tyreek lentils and sticky Kendall rice. With its winning consistency, you can't shake thoughts of and hits from Houston as you consume this Chiefs delight complete with a side of Coyote Santos.
Very nice.
Lentils, sneaky good.
Yes.
That's a sneaky good.
Yeah, so I we say this every week, but NFL.com/NFL menu, because you hear MVP read them, but you, if you
read it, it's even more clever.
You need to see them to see the word play
it's
on
great.
It. You might miss some of that in the reading. Cynthia Freeland, choose.
I mean, I...
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
No one's going
to... This one was kind of... I don't know. This one was a little tougher.
All because of what they did to the Broncos last week?
Well, yeah, and I think I just think that Tennessee is a good team. I think that Tennessee is a good team, and I think the Chiefs are a really good team as well, but I think that this is a little bit more 50-50 than.
All right, then throw the red challenge flag.
Well, but I still picked the Chiefs. I just said it's a little closer than I think the room was given the credit for.
I think DeMarco Murray will have a good game because the way to beat the Chiefs is to get chunk yardage on running plays to create manageable third downs. That's what they've done. That's how they've been beaten this season when they've been beaten. So DeMarco Murray's a good fantasy play.
My great fear is for the Titans. Did you see the press conference with Mariota after not press conference, his comments after practice yesterday?
No, what did he say?
This will be the coldest game I've ever played in my life.
Right. Oh.
This will be the coldest game I've ever played in in my life.
The truth about Dak Prescott, too, in college, and he had never been like under 35 degrees.
Yeah, he's from Hawaii, played in Oregon, Pac-12 trail. You go on to Palouse every now and then, and it can get nasty, but not 0 degrees nasty.
Well, ironically, since we're talking about cold weather, this might sound like a hot take, but really, I said that before the game up there in against the Giants for Dak Prescott, an SEC QB, now Mariota coming over from a Hawaii kid. This it's not to say that they can't do it in the cold, but until we see them do it, we can't just say, oh, that's not a factor. Yeah. Of course it's a factor. And by the way, look at all of Week 14. A lot of big-time QBs had bad games. Why? They all just turned into rubbish
freezing.
Where it was cold around the country and snowy and muddy and rainy and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I'm with that, and the Chiefs just might be the best team in the AFC when it's all said and done. Or even before it's all said and done, they might be the best team right now. I like their chances in Foxborough. I like it even better if
it were
company have to go down.
If it were in KC, I'd like it a lot more if it were at Arrowhead.
Right, it's possible.
Toughest.
Possible.
Yeah, I think toughest place to play.
Well, it's the loudest, right? Everyone thinks it's Seattle.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's not. Yeah, it's not just that it's the loudest. There's something about that place. Whenever I go there, that's different.
If you don't put some food on your belly before you get there, you're gonna be distracted by the delicious smells of smoked beef.
It's the best tailgate, bar none. Not even close. I mean, it is bar none.
Chiefs
not close.
Are pretty
Chiefs tailgate's
too.
The best.
They're pretty sneaky vicious. I'm friends with a lot of Chiefs fans on Twitter and. Those guys
and if you're looking at it right now, if you're looking at the show, it's red and gold is our menu design.
Ooh,
so that's maybe. I don't know if that means anything.
It feels to the psychology.
Bartlett likes all
means
of it.
Everything.
Also, we talked about uniforms. I can't help myself. I have to say this, too. Chiefs' most underrated top 10 NFL uniform. Uh-huh. People sleep on how good their uniform is.
And I do want to point this out quickly from Thursday Night Football. To hell with you, Oakland Raiders, because I know that combo too well, having called enough Oregon Duck games when they wear the white with the silver numbers. And when you are high above the field as a play-by-play man trying to figure out who's who, and it just looks like a blank white jersey because the silver does not pop.
Your L.A. Kings have done that nonsense, too.
On you. You for doing that, and you can't. Pass complete out to the flat. Receiver's got it, and he's out of bounds on the right sideline. And that was Latavius Murray. I mean, it's impossible to figure out who's who when you're that high up, and that's the combo they go with.
They look nice, and I was
they look great.
I was a cynic going in, but the white pants didn't look half bad.
I don't like white pants anytime. I think white pants are blech.
Especially
garbage.
Around the holidays. You save those for the summertime.
Right, all like right. After Labor Day, what are you thinking?
What about Mark Sanchez's white pants and that GQ spread? About those capris? Those
I think Mark
stretchy.
Sanchez should have waited for the GQ spread right until after he was like had done some stuff.
That mesh tank top and the white capris. I was like, ooh, that guy's dreamy.
That or Kobe's shoot.
That was just ridiculous. I mean, they're both ridiculous.
Or Alex Rodriguez kissing himself in the mirror.
Don't make me pick.
Kobe's
I punt.
Have you heard the rumors that Alex Rodriguez has a painting above his bed of himself as a centaur?
I don't think those are rumors. I think that was confirmed
I just
by the person
to make sure
that did that photo shoot. They were like, hey, there's a weird painting of a centaur, but it's got him.
Those are the ultimate white pants right there. Centaur.
Related. I do have some space over my bed in the holidays. All right, MVP dessert. We talked about Dak Prescott. Woo-hoo. Let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Cowboys.
All right, so our dessert is a Bucks versus Cowboys jalebi, and I have to say that Junebug, producer Junebug, wrote this one.
Right, shout out to our pal Arjuna for helping out with this menu.
The perfect ending to your Dallas entree. The buck stops here with jalebi Winston, a sweet dish of Des vibrant goodness that will have you Jason Fitton for a sixth straight. The churro-sized sugar mixed with our Dak-fried flour combined to make a cold, measly mix with a syrup-infused Josh Tuff exterior. Note. Please stop asking for our Romo. It's not in season.
Well done.
That last line.
Freeland in here dancing.
Yes, you have to.
Too bad we missed one. No, the camera missed that. Your boogie there.
As a nerdy guy, I'm thinking of Dalsim in Street Fighter. That's what came into my head when I heard it. I was like, remember Dalsim? Pop that hand out there. Nerd.
I like Karate Champ better.
Karate Champ?
Yeah, the double handle.
Oh, yeah. Was that called Karate Champ, or was it?
Pretty sure it was, right?
Yeah.
I
don't remember.
Yeah, it had two handles.
Oh, it was
and
great.
You pushed them in different directions.
Set, fight!
Yeah, even. Yeah.
What the
three
hell?
Points.
What the hell point. Are you talking
there
about?
There were these things called arcades.
Half point.
Right.
Bunch of olds.
Full point!
Winner!
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I really like that game. Okay, Harmon, Bucks, Cowboys, choose.
I'm going Bucks.
Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to do it, too.
Oh,
I wanted to do it.
Why? Well, okay,
That's a three-way flag.
I think it's kind of easy for everybody else to attack him. Freeland, throw some noise at him.
Well, the Bucks defense has been better as of late.
Great.
Yep. But I still think that the O-line, the outmatching of their O-line with their front, any of their front, however many they're going to throw on the line in this case, maybe stack the box, whatever. But their defensive front is favor Cowboys. And I think, you know, obviously I'm not a huge home field advantage. In fact, I would say Cowboys actually haven't exhibited in their new stadium a real true home field advantage statistically. But I do think your O-line, that's a real advantage. Yeah. And that's statistically a real advantage.
Money, anything you want to throw in?
I would just – I think a correction is coming. And you look at – I don't remember what the numbers were exactly, but it was pretty lopsided. What did Dak throw, like 48 passes? And when you factor in the picks, I think it ended up being like almost 50 passes. This is going to be a Zeke Elliott game, and that offensive line
and
is going to
– the balance.
Look, yeah.
Right. When Dak's able to have a more balanced game. So league average 60-40 in terms of run plays, pass plays, run plays. When he's more balanced, they're better.
This was a tough one, though. Like, the one thing I thought about was who slows down Mike Evans? I mean, if that O-line holds up, and it's not like they have a great pass rush, like, I don't know what they do. And the fact that Winston has now started to spread the ball around a little bit to Shepard and Brate, I mean, he's going to have to be double-teamed the whole – they do not have a corner that can deal with him. So that's the one
but
path.
But they do have the, like, sometimes erratic Jameis Winston comes out.
Sure.
And
it just hasn't shown
up. For no reason. Like, he has the most confounding statistics. Like, under pressure, he's better. When he's not pressured, he's worse. Like, you see these things happen with him. And so it's kind of like the predictability of it becomes – not necessarily.
You know, with Zeke Elliott and turning things back over to him instead of trying to ride the right arm of Dak a little bit, that has been the formula for the majority of the season, and it's worked for them. You know, I talked to Maurice Jones-Drew, and I've asked other running backs about this. You know, how is it a myth about the rookie wall that running backs run into, especially with the number of touches that Zeke's gotten this year? And even Maurice says, it's hard to – it happens, but it's hard to identify how it's affecting individuals, and obviously there's some variability with with what human being you're talking about. But even he has said that you can see a few signs that the fifth gear ain't there for Zeke right now. That little things like that. That, I mean, he's still, you know, running hard and everything, but he doesn't have the high end speed that he had to start the season.
You talked about Pro Football Focus, and one thing that I love that they do are yards after contact for running backs. They have
sure.
they do a really good job with that. And Zeke has some astronomical like comparisons to the legends, people who are legends. So while you might not see that fifth gear in the cold and at the Giants,
New York, indoors.
That, right. I think like inside, and I think kind of more, you know, like the correction you're talking about, I think you go see that, and that's a very predictive metric that I really like. I like that one too. Like yards after contact is how Lev Bell works, right? So right.
It depends what kind of guy Dak is mentally, emotionally, but you know, I mean, obviously if it were me, I would be crumbling right now. Like they're saying they want Tony back in now after everything I've done, and now they want to put him back in. I would crumble.
Yeah, but
that's why
you know
you're
what?
Here.
You know what? He got crushed during the from combine to draft. He got crushed. People were calling him Tebow. Like
right.
Like there were like
also plus he got a Dewey.
Well,
that's my point.
Right.
I Dak Prescott is more resilient than I am emotionally.
Slightly.
The one great story though that I love with the Bucks being great is because we heard this, you know, speaking of the combine through the whole draft process, and we actually saw it, you know, firsthand with doing the interviews with Jameis and talking to his teammates and coaches, just how this is a different level leader. For whatever reason, men who play football take his commands and really rally around him. And you hear these stories about, like, I think it was Chris Conte I heard say it. And he was like, it's just weird. He looks at you and he grabs your pads and he says, listen, I know you haven't been asked to do a lot, but I believe in you. And I believe you're going to do something today. He's like, and you just walk away and you're like,
I can do it.
Yeah, I can do it.
He's right. He should believe it. It's so great. It is so great.
Maybe in the offseason, maybe before the playoffs, but that's something because we talked about that last week, Cynthia, where Aaron Rodgers was concerned. You know, he's clearly just not the most popular guy in the locker room. Tom Brady is the most popular guy in the Patriots locker room.
The man got away with wearing Uggs.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, that says everything.
Stomping around
you
Foxborough in his
By the way, when next time people want to come at me about how good Aaron Rodgers is, just go back and watch the throw he made to Davante Adams at the start of the game. Rolling hard to his right with the flick of a wrist 40 yards
right on a spot. Hell of a catch, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great catch. But no other QB in the game makes that throw, or any other human being, for that matter. Harmon, do you want to very quickly tell us why the Bucks are going to win?
You yacked all over my time here.
We did. Sorry, and we probably stole all your points, too.
You had a lot of good – you guys kind of made the case for me.
Yeah,
no, but
did.
I think that Tampa Bay can play on the script that Dallas wants to play on, you know, the slow pace, all that. They actually have the third highest time of possession the last 3 weeks. That is Tampa Bay. They can play on that script with Dallas, and I think that their defense's improvement has been, you know, kind of under the radar a little bit. That is Tampa Bay. And same thing with the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. I mean, they're still run blocking better than anybody, but they allowed 6 sacks the last 2 weeks, and I think that this is a game where they're going to get pressure on Dak Prescott, who hasn't been as effective when rolling out of the pocket like he was earlier in the year. I think the Bucks are an up and coming team, and I think they get the big upset here. I'm pretty confident.
Well, as we wrap it up,
there we go.
As we wrap it up, that brings us back to where we started with Money's point there. If that happens, the Cowboys lose in week 15. Oh, the one seed
Hot
is theirs. Oh, no,
takes
don't worry.
Takes
everything.
Takes.
Road to the Super Bowl goes through Dallas. All of a sudden, they'd be one game up.
Intern,
maybe.
Fetch me my fedora. I've got a hot take.
At worst, I mean, if they lose this game, they will be one game up on either the Giants, who already have the head-to-head,
tiebreaker,
or the Detroit Lions. Who do the Cowboys play in week 16 in Dallas? Lions. Oh, ooh, the drama. I might start rooting for the Buccaneers. All right, great stuff. Cynthia Freeland, Matt Harmon, Matt Money Smith.
Hello.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you after week 15 in front of week 16 to let you know how to go. Great stuff, MVP, Ryan Bartlett, the Professor JD, David Lara. And again, shout out to Junebug.
I made it to the end of a show.
Been a thin slice ahead.
Look at that.